Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, today's daf is daf Pei Vav. We're holding three lines from the bottom of the Amid where the Gemara begins, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And this Rabbi Yehuda Omer is a quote from our Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud on Pei Hei Amud Beis, you'll see it says Rabbi Yehuda at the end, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Em Yesh Shom Tfisas Yad Shel Baal Habayis Einoi Oyser. What does that mean? That means that if you have among the five houses around your chotzer, one of them belongs, for instance, to the owner. Most of the time, things always belong to the owner. But here we have one person who's the owner of one of the houses, and he also happens to be an owner of a second house, and that second house is leased to a tenant. So he has a tenant in that house. So normally you would say, okay, then everybody in the chotzer has to participate in the Erev, all five people, including this tenant. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that is accurate. Yes, the tenant would have to go and contribute. But there is an exception to the rule. That exception to the rule is if and when the owner has a tfisas yad. What means a tfisas yad? That means he left something in the home of the tenant, which is there and belongs to him, meaning belongs to the landlord, belongs to the owner. That's enough to consider that resident as if it still belongs to the owner, and therefore the tenant does not have to contribute to the Erev, and his absence in contribution, Einoi Oyser, doesn't affect the Erev in any way, shape, or form. All you need to do is that the Baal HaBayis has to have a Tfisas Yad, he has to have something in the home of the owner. What is that something? We're going to have Mir Tashem an example on Pei Vav Amud Aleph shortly.
Why would the landlord have to have something in the house if he owns the apartment? Then the walls are his, the floors are his, the plumbing is his.
Because all of that is rented out and leased to the tenant, and the tenant has it for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But if the landlord has also left something tangible, which the landlord has the right to call on, which belongs to him, and when the tenant leaves, he leaves it for the landlord, that is considered tfisas yad, that you left something in the house.
Sure.
And if no problem. So tomorrow, hechi domi tfisas yad. Give me an example of someone, an owner, that in fact had such a tfisas yad by his tenant. Kigoin chatzeroi shel, and the Bach and the Yonam Afarshim take out the first bunyus. Kigoin chatzeroi shel ben bunyus, the son of Bunyus. Bunyus was a very wealthy individual. Look, Rashi, two lines from the bottom of the Omid at the end of the line, Ben Bunyus. Rashi says, Oshir Haya, he was a wealthy individual. Umashul Batim Shebachotzer Lacherim, he had Batim in his Chotzer and he was Mashul, that means he rented them out, he leased them to others. Vahilo Kelim Mekulan, and he would leave behind some Kelim that belonged to him in those houses. Shibatech Oishroi, since he was such a wealthy person, how you like Kalim Harbi, he had many, many different items. Apparently he didn't have enough room for storage in his own apartment, in his own house, so he left them there in the various houses.
It seems like he liked cookware. Kalim, is cooking utensils?
No, Kalim just means any type of utensil. It often is the case that Kalim is referring to cooking utensils, but here it could mean anything.
Do the items have to be just Kalim, or could they be furniture and the things that the
furniture, tapestries, paintings, yes, especially if you have
articles,
yeah, etc. So this is Bunyus. Now the Gemara tells us, we get off a little bit on a tangent for a short moment, but the Gemara tells us also Lekami deRebbe, that Ben Bunyus came in front of Rebbe, and when Rebbe saw Ben Bunyus, he knew that Ben Bunyus is a wealthy individual. Amalahu, and he said to the Talmidim, to the Misharsim, Panu mokim leben meyamana. Go and put a nice place for this choshev, a person who is a ben meyamana, means like a millionaire. In other words, go and put a nice place for him, because after all, he's an oisha, give him kovet. Asin ishachrina, a new person came in subsequently, amalahu, and now Rebbe said to those gathered there, Panu mokim leben masayimana. Now go and place even a more choshev a place for this fellow, because apparently he's a multi-millionaire, and therefore says the top Rashi, "Kolayim mokim choshev yoiser ben gedolim lefi kovet oshrei." Give him even a psa choshever place. So now it's obvious that Rebbe considered the second person to be wealthier than the first person, then Ben Bunyas. Is Amul Afon of Rebbe Shmuel B'Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Shmuel B'Rebbe Yossi, who was there, said to Rebbe, Rebbe, Aviv Shalzeh yesh loy elef sfinois bayam ukenegdon elef ayores bayabasha. You don't even realize how wealthy the father of Ben Bunyas. In other words, Bunyas. You don't realize how wealthy he is. He has 1,000 ships that sail on the high seas, and he has elef ayores and 1,000 towns and villages all to his name. Wow, he is very wealthy. And therefore he is wealthier than the second individual. So you should not have given more cover to the second guy, you should have given more cover to Ben Bunyas. So now Rebbe told him, Amaloi, the Shiktagia Eitzel Oviv, if you, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, meet his father, meaning Bunyas, the father of Ben Bunyas, and more like tell him, Al Tishagreyu Bekelim Halol Lefanai. You should not allow your son to come dressed the way he dressed in front of me. Meaning, says Rashi, that he did not dress appropriately for a person who is the son of a multimillionaire. If you look at the second line of Rashi, Bekelim Halolu, Bebegodim Halolu She'ein Nira Osher Kolkach. You look at him, he doesn't look like an Osher. So that's why I assumed that he was one of the reduced Ashirim, not one of the major league Ashirim, the minor league Ashirim. If you want me to give him the cover that he deserves, go and send him appropriately dressed. What do we see from this Gemara? That obviously Rebbe gave kavod to Ashirim, to wealthy people. Why did he do that? Says Imar Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim and Rebbe Kiva's Mechabed Ashirim, Kiddorish Rabba or Rabba Bar Meri. It says in the Pasuk, Ketilim, Yeshiv Oilam Lefnei Alekim, Chesed Ve'emes Man Yintzeruhu. What's the pshat in this Pasuk? So Darshan Imar, the word Yeshiv Oilam means Emesai Yeshiv Oilam. When will there be a Yeshiv on this world? That there will be a continued existence of mankind. Lefnei Alekim, before Hashem. Bizman shechesed the emes, when there are bali chesed out there that are going and giving charity and are being benevolent and beneficent to those having rachmanis, exactly, on the poor. Man is from the word mozoin, that in tzeru, that they go and supply food for those that are needy. So therefore, apparently, Bunyas and this other fellow, apparently were not only wealthy, but also shared their wealth with the people that were not so wealthy, in other words, with the poor. And therefore, they supported them and gave them tzedakah and all the rest. Oh, in that schus, we have the Yeshiva Olam. So therefore, we have to thank them, says Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva. We have to mechabed them for the wonderful work that they're doing. So that's a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. But interestingly enough, the Rebbe Kiva Eger brings another beautiful pshat, why Dafka Rebbe was Mechaber Ashirim. After all, based on this limud, everybody should be Mechaber Ashirim, not just Rebbe. So if you look at the Gilyan Ashas in the right-hand margin, in the middle, he brings a fascinating vort from the Kutei Maharil. Rebbe Mechaber Ashirim. Kutei Maharil, Sheshoma mi Maharam Segal. The Maharil heard from Maharam Segal. The Yesh Loimar. We have in other Gemaras that Rebbe himself was also a very wealthy individual. That's why he made it a frequent trait of his to go mi mechabed wealthy. Why? Because Rebbe wanted that people, when they give him kavod, they should give kavod because of his wealth. Not because he was the great Torah leader of the generation. He didn't want to have any side benefit from his great genius in Torah, to get any side benefit, any fringe benefit whatsoever from his gedul in Torah. Ad kan l'shayne. Anyway, so you see from this that that's another reason why Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva and Mechaber Ashirim, Rebbe in particular, that Rebbe we know was very, very wealthy. The Gemara says about Antoninus for Rebbe that they were so wealthy, like Parshim Yal Shulchanim, like Tzinoim, like Chazeres, like Bimaisek Shom, like Bimaisek Achama, that the whole year they had food items and delicacies that you don't normally get because they're out of season, and they had it throughout the year because they were very wealthy, so they imported it for Chwais from Australia or whatever. And The reason why he wanted to give kavod to Ashirim, people should mechabed him, not because he was the mesader of Shas, of the Mishnayis, and Rabbeinu HaKadosh for his tzidkus and kedusha and for his learning, but rather he wanted people to give him kavod because of his Ashirus, and then Mela, he will not be nehena, he won't have any hano from his learning. Exactly. Leave it for Olam Haba. Zayikit, ah, Uri, tremendous. What would I do without you? And now we get back to our Mishnah. So we started off with a question, and that was, give me an example of Heichi Domi Tfisas Yad. What means a Tfisas Yad? That the landlord left something in the home of the tenant. Zokti Yimara, Rabbi Bachana Omar, Kigoyin Yosed Shel Machresha. A Yosed is the knife or the blade that you have at the bottom of a plow. If you take a plow and you plow a field, you can't just go and take a plow and go back and forth and now it's all plowed. You have to have a cutting instrument on the bottom, blades that cut through the soil and therefore allow for a plowing. That Yosech HaMachresha, that those are the blades, which are, I don't know how valuable they are in terms of money, however they are very precious in terms of, the Gemara told us in Masech Shabbos, that this Yosech HaMachresha is osir to go mimetaltel et smukza on Shabbos. Even though you could use other knives to go and cut things. However, Yosech HaMachresha, because a farmer will not allow anybody to touch it, because I guess it's fragile, it's very special, it's very very careful.
It's his
parnasa. It's his parnasa. He can't afford to have it ruined. Oh, just like a chalif of a shoychet. He doesn't want people to play around with it, because he'll get a nick and that'll destroy the whole chalif. Here too, this Yosech HaMachresha is very precious. And therefore, if the landlord leaves it by the tent, even though it's only a small part of a much larger plow, that is also called a tfisas yad. Rav Nachman now adds a limitation. Rav Nachman taught it to be Shmuel. We learned in the Besmeresh Shmuel, Dover had nitl b'shabes oiser, Dover she'en nitl b'shabes eni oiser. It depends whether the item is the type of item that can be removed and moved on Shabbos. Then if it can be, then we have to deem it as if it was removed, and then the tenant does have to participate in the Erev for the Seruvi Chatzeres, and if he didn't, then he is Oyser. We'd have to go to him and ask him for Bitl Rishus. However, if it's things that are Muktzah and cannot be taken away on Shabbos, Einay Oyser, because I know for that Shabbos, this Tfisas Yad is going to remain intact. What's going to happen by next Shabbos, I don't know. He might take it away on Monday or Tuesday. But at least on Shabbos, it's going to remain. So there's a Tvisas Yad. Therefore, the tenant does not have to concern himself with participating in the Eder. Tanya Mihochi, there was Daka Raya from Abraisa. Yeshli Tevel, Yeshli Ashoshis, V'chol Dover She'enoi Nitl B'Shabbos. If the landlord has left in the tenant's house Tevel, as we know, is Muktzah, and Shabbos, you cannot go and be Mesakin it, because you'd be Oyvan Issa Drabonin of something that looks like a Tikkun Mana, or you have Ashoshes. Ashoshes in Shas usually is referred to as a lantern, but Rashi says over here, somebody has his, somebody's not muted, so kindly everybody mute yourselves if you'd be so kind. Get back to Ashoshes. Rashi says, those are pieces of iron, you see right before the Mishnah. Ashoshes shel barzel chatichas gedoilis. Large pieces of metal. What are you going to do with large pieces of metal on Shabbos? Zero. You could use it during the week for manufacturing, for building, for construction, but you can't go and use it on a given Shabbos. And so therefore the Gemara says that's also a davashin nitl b'Shabbos. All of these things, einoi oiser, it does not aser. All of these things do not aser, meaning that since they're going to remain there for the whole Shabbos, then the tenant does not have to participate in the Erev, and everything is fine because the owner is the owner of this house, the tenant is off the hook.
Did the owner participate in the Erev?
The owner did, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're assuming that the owner had other batim in the chotzer, and therefore
he put it in. Mute.
Yeah, no, but somebody wants to ask a question, that's why he unmuted himself.
Okay.
But we want to give deference to you since you're
okay.
Here. Yes, Barry, you have a question.
The example then of the blade of the plow, then that's muktzah on Shabbos.
Exactly. So
that doesn't seem to work. If it's muktzah, so it's muktzah because it can't be moved on Shabbos. Therefore, it invests the owner with property. I say okay.
So the reason why the renter doesn't have to be part of the Erev is
right.
Because the owner of the property has a piece of a kalim in Kaili and his thing, so therefore it includes it in everything.
Right? Exactly, that's
but
exactly.
Does the
right.
owner of this whole thing have to have an eruv?
Does the owner, if the owner is,
we're assuming that the owner made an eruv over all of his.
Okay, so that's a good question. So the Gemara doesn't tell us how many other homeowners there are. Assuming that there are only two people there altogether, the owner and this fellow who's the tenant, then the owner would not have to go and make an Eruv because it's as if the whole property is his, which it is his, and when you only have one person in his own chatzar, you don't have to make an Eruv. Even if there are multiple other people in the chatzar, right. Presumably what the Gemara is telling us is if there are five altogether, three plus the owner plus the tenant, so you only have to have four people participating in the Eruv and not five, because that person is subsumed within the owner.
They're one unit.
Yeah. One unit, exactly. This has practical implications, Rabbi Isai, because Rav Moshe Zatzal held that it was not necessary to go and make an Erev in an apartment building. And the reason is because he felt that every landlord that owns an apartment building has a refrigerator or a stove or other things that are in each and every one of the apartments. And when a tenant moves out, he doesn't have a right to take that refrigerator or stove with him. So therefore, the landlord remains the owner, and therefore he has a tfisas yad in every apartment in the building. So he feels that you don't need to go and make it out. Other poskim disagreed, and that's why many people are machmir to go and make an Erev in their buildings. But this was Ramosh's view. If you want to discuss it further, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi.
What's very interesting, in your Yerushalayim, most of the apartments, you bring your own refrigerators, stoves, etc. The landlords don't provide them.
That's correct.
It's a moot point, the Erev, because in Yerushalayim, we have every neighborhood has every city has one.
How many rented apartments do you have in Yerushalayim? 99% of the people all live in their own apartments, their own houses, right?
Well, they might own, but they're apartments. But there are many rentals here.
They are? Okay. Well, that's a relatively new phenomenon, because it used to be everybody had to own their own apartment.
But they bring their own appliances.
If it's your own apartment, you better bring your own appliances.
No, but renters bring their own apartment. And then
they have a right to take it out with them. And they have a right to
exactly. 100%.
Good. Excellent. So on that high note, we're going to go on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Ha-miniach ve'isoy v'holach lishbois v'ir acheres. We've had this already before in our Masechta. What happens if you have an owner who is not there for Shabbos? He went away for Shabbos. You're allowed to go away. And he did not participate in the Erev. Does that interfere with the Erev's effectiveness, validity, or does it not affect it? And in fact, we're going to have a machloikis in our Mishnah. So the Tanakhama says, Haminiach Beisoy, Vahalach Lishbois Be'er Acheres. He went away for Shabbos. He usually lives in Yerushalayim, and he went away to Bnei Brak for Shabbos. Ech Nochri, so if you're talking about a Gentile, V'echad Yisrael, so if you're talking about a Jew, Harizeh Oysa Divir Ameir. Because like Rashi says, Dira Blei Baalim Shema Dira. Even though it's an uninhabited Dira, nobody's in the Dira for Shabbos, it makes no difference. A Dira is a Dira is a Dira, and the owner of that Dira assers on all the other people in the Chatzar unless they participate in the Erev. Continues the Mishnah, that's the Biramei. Rabbi Yehuda Oymer, just the opposite. Einoi Oyser. And Rashi says, the Lav Shema Dira. If you're not there, you don't count. You don't count. Just like those people, if they don't go and vote, they don't count. The only time you count is if you go and vote. I'm not going to publicize who I voted for. I already voted 2 days ago. But everybody should vote if they can. Anyways, getting back to, and the main, most important vote in the world is, like it says in the Torah, Uvacharta b'chayim, you should go and choose for life. Life meaning a life of Torah and mitzvahs. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah. So you have machlokes between Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir says if you're not there, you don't count for purposes of the Erev. Rabbi Yehuda, then you do count, and you have to be counted, says Remeir. Harizeh oyser. Rabbi Yehuda says if you're not there, any oyser, then it's as if that house doesn't exist, and the people that Shabbos do not have to worry about the fellow that went away. Rabbi Yossi is Yovi Akosva Shlishi V'Achriya Beneim, and he has a third view, which is a very logical view. Rabbi Yossi Oimen Nochri Oisi Yisrael Eini Oiser. If the Nochri is not there, he continues to Aser, and therefore you have to make a Schiris Rishus. If Yisrael is not there, he does not aser. What's the difference between a Jew and a Goy? She'ein derech Yisrael lovi b'Shabbos. If the Jew goes away from Shabbos, what's the likelihood that he's going to return from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim? A very, very, very small percentage. Of course, chas v'shalom, there could be a pikuch nefesh situation. But normally, you go away, you're not going to be back. But a nochri doesn't have any such limitation, and therefore he might be back Friday night or Shabbos morning or whatever. So the nochri oisers, even if he's away, Yisrael any oiser, even if he's away. Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon adds, until now we spoke about Hamaniach Beis Valach Lishbois Be'ir Acheres. He went to another city. Zok Reb Shimon, Afilei Niach Beis Valach Lishbois Eit Selbita Be'oiser Ho'ir. Even if he went for Shabbos away to his daughter, Tzazan Tochter, Be'oiser Ir in the same city. In other words, a few blocks away, or a different neighborhood. But he was able to get back on Shabbos. It was within the Tchum. It's Ba'ois Ha'ir. There's no problem in carrying in the Tchum. Einay Oiser! Shekvar Hisiyah Miliboy. He's not going to Aser because he was Mesiach Das. Mesiach Das means we could tell he has no intention of coming back for Shabbos. If he went to his daughter and his Aydim, you have nothing to worry about. He's not coming back. So even though he didn't go to Bnei Brak, he just went from Geula to Meishurim, or to another neighborhood in Yerushalayim, but not just to eat a Suda, but to go and live there, to sleep there, he's not coming back, and therefore he doesn't Aser. Now, we can understand very, very well, a person takes his packages with him, and he goes to his daughter for Shabbos, well, he's not going to come back until Motzei Shabbos. But why does the Mishnah only talk about a daughter? Why didn't the Mishnah say that he went to his son and his daughter-in-law? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, a very important, but unfortunately a very realistic appraisal of what's going on. Amar Rav, Alocha K'Reb Shimon, we pass like K'Reb Shimon, if the person goes away to his daughter for Shabbos. V'davka B'itoy, Av B'noy Loi, if he went to his son, that's a different story. And now the Gemara uses an expression, the Amri Imshi, people say, Novach B'Kalba, if your male dog goes, that your male dog, if you enter a house and a male dog barks, oil, don't be frightened, go in. Novach boch kuriosa. If, however, it's a female dog that barks, puk, then run away, don't go into the door. Who is the kalba, who is the kuriosa? You've probably figured it out by now. So Rashi says kalba is referring to chosnoi, his son-in-law. Even if the son-in-law has a bark, don't worry about it. You're going to your daughter. You can stay there for Shabbos. Everything is fine. The female, the Guryasa, is referring to Kalosa, his daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law is barking, leave and go back home and don't stay for Shabbos. So, it's, well...
The wife rules the roost.
It's just, not just the wife. It's a question of the... Okay, the care device.
She has a roller pin in her hand.
Exactly.
A roller pin?
Okay. You'll find that most mommies in particular are much closer to their daughters than they are to their daughters-in-law. So they do it not because that's human nature, because it's a Gemara. That's the halacha from Rav. Rav says, Dafke Bita Benoilai. And we continue on to the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeres. This should be a very familiar Mishnah because we've had it already a number of times, especially in recent times. We have two Chatzeres which have power and authority and rights of usage of something in the middle, like we had the koisel in the middle, a charitz in the middle, the bor in the middle. So you have a bor between two chatzeres, even among the men of Shabbos. You cannot go and take water from that bor on Shabbos. Now, why could you go and take water from the door on Shabbos? Now, we're talking about a case where there was no Erev. Had the two chatzeres made a joint Erev, there would not be a problem. Rather, the reason is because they did not make an Erev. And Rashi says this bor belonged to both chatzeres, chotzer A and chotzer B. And the problem is, if I from chotzer A go and put in my bucket and I want to draw water from this bar, I'm going to be taking water from both A and B. Not only my entitlement, we're not worried about over here choshen mishpat shailas of stealing from somebody else because the bar belonged to both parties, both chatzeres. The concern over here is only that I'm going to be taking water that belongs to the other chotzer on Shabbos over to my side, and therefore I'm going to go and carry from chotzer to chotzer without the benefit of an Erev. So the only way you can do this, says the Mishnah, is if you make some sort of partition to show the difference between my side of the Erev, my side of the bar, and your side of the bar. And the Mishnah and the Gemara are going to dwell on the details of the machitza that you have to make. So, says the Tanakh, you cannot in memal b'shabbos ele imkin osu le mechitza gvoy asar tvachem. You have to go make a mechitza. Throughout our mesechta, we've learned that the minimum shear of a mechitza to be an effective barrier is if it's 10 tvachem tall. Now, where do you put that mechitza? Says the Tanakhama, bein melmata, bein mitreich oignoi. Say if it's down below, and say if it's within its oigen. Oigen means the rim, or the very lip. Top of the bar, the lip of the bar. Thank you. I'm sorry?
I thought oigen meant anchor.
In other connections, it does. Here, this word oigen over here is referring to it. In Yiddish, oigen also means eyes. So, whenever you have words like that, you have to know the connection. For instance, the Gemara says, what does chamra mean? Chamra can mean an eisel. Eisel means a donkey, a chamar. And chamra can also mean wine. So, when we were kids, the Rebbeim would always go and say, how can you tell whether the chamra is talking about a donkey or whether it's talking about wine? You have to see the connection. If the chamra is in the shtal, shtal means in the stable, then you know that it happens to be a chamar. As is in the kela, in the van kela, in the wine cellar, then you know it's wine. So here too, the oignoi, you're right. If we were talking about ships and boats, we could talk about an anchor. But since we're talking about a bar, oignoi means the rim or the lip of the bar. Yishekoyach ed. So that's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hill. Reb Shimon Gamliel, oimer Beis Shammai, oimer milmata. Make sure that machitza is below. Bisil omer mamala, that it can be above. Now these words mamata mamala alone don't really give us a clue as to where this machitza has to be. Does mamala and mamata mean inside the bar itself, or does it mean outside of the bar? And that in fact is going to be a machloikis in our Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Stay tuned for the machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in another moment. Now says the Mishnah, Amar Reb Yehuda, not to be confused with Rav Yehuda. Stam Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah throughout Shas is Reb Yehuda b'Reb Eloi. Yes, Reb Eloi Shkoyach Barry. And Stam Rav Yehuda in the Gemara is Reb Yehuda ben Barry. Reb Yecheskel. Exactly. So Reb Yehuda is Reb Yehuda b'Reb Eloi. That's the Tana. Rav Yehuda, the Amoira, is Reb Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Don't confuse the two because we're going to have both of them now in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda ends off the Mishnah. What is Rabbi Yehuda telling us? You don't have to construct a special machitza lekoved this bar. As it is to do look at this. Mahal taf pai vuv umed alif me'enik the zweite Mishnah of the umed be'erach zwei drittlich fin unhoi fin the umed alif. Bruchem tiyah. So Rabbi Yehuda says at the end of the Mishnah, if you have a natural wall which divides between the two chatzeis, when I say natural, it doesn't mean that it was made by Kodesh Baruch Hu, but I mean is to say that this was not made miyuchad for this bar, but rather there's a barrier, there's a wall between the two chatzeis, which is understandable. People made a wall of fence between the two. And gerade underneath this wall, there happens to be a bar. And this machitza doesn't even reach the bar because it's level with the ground. And underneath that, I see, oh, there's a bar over here with water. Rabbi Yehuda says that's already enough. You don't have to make a hinni michan mzimen macha special machitza to cover this bar. A bar, a machitza of a koisel is enough, and therefore any type of makeshift barrier suffices. If you look, and the important part of Rabbi Yehuda is it doesn't even go into the bar itself, it's the bottom of the machitza lies above the bar, says Reb Yehuda, that's also enough. Now, whether or not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel require that the machitza actually enter into the bar, remember Beis Shammai says Melmata, Beis Hillel says Mamala, what does that mean? Zokti Yimara Machloikis Rav Huna and Reb Yehuda. Om Rav Huna, Lamata is Lamata Mamish. Lamala, Lamala Mamish. Bezeh bezeh bebar. Now, when I first read the Gemara, Lamata Mamish, I thought Lamata means all the way down in the recesses in the bottom of the bar. But that's not the Pshat, Rabbi Yisai. Rashi HaKudosh tells us Lamata means that it's in the bar, but it's above the water line. Whatever the depth of the bar, let's assume that the depth of the bar is where the water is, Ichweis. 20 tvachim of water. Big bar full of water. Baruch Hashem. You don't have to have that lamata, according to Beis Shammai, that the machitza touches the water. No. Lamata means above the waterline. Go and separate the waterline from the machitza by lamushal achvaisa tefach, and then start your machitza from there, according to Beis Shammai alibed Rav Huna. According to Beis Hill alibed Rav Huna, you put it into the bar, but don't start from the waterline up. You start from the rim or the lip of the bar going down.
A nice picture. Yes.
You have a nice picture. Oh, so Ed is showing us a picture in the art school. The Grace Shkoyich has art school. You can look it up and see that according to Rav Huna, both Beis Shammai's and Beis Hillel's machitzas are in the bar. That's why the Gemara said the zev is zev a bar, but neither of them requires that it touch the water whatsoever. And so therefore, it's more of, if you will, a symbolic machitza than a real machitza, because the whole purpose of this machitza is because I'm drawing water from the other side. Even if there are 2 machitzas, 20 machitzas, if it doesn't go into the bar, I'm still collecting water from the other side, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. But just to show you that what I'm telling you is accurate, I'm not making this up on my own, let's just see the Rashi in the middle of the Amid where it says Gemara Lamata, Lamata Tekamri Beis Shammai, Lamata Mamish. Samuch Lamayim, it's close to the waterline at the top. The Ein Tzrichen Rashi Konim Liga Bamayim. But no, you don't even need any Negiah, it doesn't have any to touch the water. It could be removed. A tefach, let's say, from the water, and that's where your mechitza is. It's 10 tvachim tall. This is gevaldik, but it doesn't even touch the water. And lamala dechamri beisil zok drashi lamala mamish samach. The bach changes it samach lisfosoy milmala im yirtze daye bekach. According to beisil, it doesn't even have to get close to the water. If from the top of the bar to where the water is, yichvais is 50 tvachim. All you have to have is the mechitza starts at the top of the bar, go down 10 tfuchim, and finished, even though the water is much, much lower. And then Rav Huna ends, v'zev v'zev bar, but afil the beisil tzarch shetehe kol mechitza sasara me'oigen a bar v'lefnim. But even beisil agrees that this mechitza cannot be above the bar, it can be above in the bar. Klape relative to Beis Shammai, it's tak above. But within the four corners of the bar, me'oygin, from the lip of the bar, v'lefnim, which means an ulamata, and downwards, and not outside the bar. So that's Rav Huna. Both lamata and lamala inside the bar. Rav Yehuda Omar, Rav Yehuda takes a different approach. Lamata, lamata min hamay. Lamata min hamay means that the mechitza, in fact, starts from the bottom of the bar. If it's a deep bar of 100 tvuchim, you got to go all the way to the bottom, and you have to build up a mechitza of 10 tvachim from the base, from the bottom. That is according to Beis Shammai. Lamala, lamala min amayim. According to Beis Hillel, you have to go and put the mechitza again within the bar, but above the waterline. So this lamala is not the same as Rav Huna's lamala, that you start from the lip of the bar going down, but it's like Beis Shammai's pshat, according to Rav Huna, the lamata of Rav Huna, that you start the mechitza from above the water and you go up. And therefore Rashi says very distinctly that the lamala of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the lamata de Rav Huna. If you look at the Rashi parallel to Agimura, lamala min amayim, go up 2-3 lines, lamala min amayim, ubahom mekili, she'en konim tzrichen liga b'mayim. According to Beis Hillel, according to Rav Yehuda, the konim do not have to touch the water. Av lamala mamish loy, but it doesn't have to be lamala lamala, but rather malad Rav Yehuda who matad Rav Huna, where Rav Huna said that lamata means that you start the mechitza right above the water. That's what Rav Yehuda meant that means mala. Not that it's submerged in the water like Beis Shammai, but it's lamala, it's higher than the water, but taka lamata. So depending on whether you are Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda, the word lamata lamala could have totally different interpretations. And now Rabba Bar Rav Chanan is going to ask several questions to Abaye on the pshat of Rav Yehuda. It's Omalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanan LeAbaye Hodi Om Rav Yehuda. That we just finished saying that according to Rav Yehuda, Lamata means Lamata min hamayim, which means that you have to go and submerge the mechitza all the way on the bottom. Maishno Lamata Mamish Deloy. Why doesn't Rav Yehuda agree with Rav Huna's pshat in Lamata Mamish, which, remember, Lamata means that it starts on top of the water, not in the water. Why did Rav Yehuda reject that and say that you have to have the mechitza on the bottom of the bar? Because Tarivi Maya, because the water is mixed. Lamata. Oh, that's right. Tarivi Maya, because the water mixes. In other words, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Huna, you said that all you have to do is put the mechitza on top of the water. How does that help? The whole tachlis of this mechitza is so that Chotzer A doesn't take water from Chotzer B. Because if Chotzer A takes water from Chotzer B, then you are violating the halach of carrying on Shabbos. You have to make an Erev to be mishtatev the two chatzeres together. You didn't do that, so it's like carrying, not mamish rishus ram, rishus yochid, that would be a deraisa. This is a derabanan, but fine, it's an issa derabanan. So what help does it have that you have that mechitz on top? Mechitz on top is only symbolic, it doesn't help at all, they're even mine. Frank Dimara, if that's the reason why Rav Yehuda insists that according to Beis Shammai, you have to put this mechitza on the bottom of the bar, so it should be a real physical barrier. So even if you do like Beis Shammai, according to Rav Yehuda, and you put the mechitza all the way on the bottom of the bar, submerged, you're going to pay a lot of money for that, because it's all wet, maybe you're going to even have to dry all the water, put the mechitza in, fill it up with water again, you have to do that. But the Gemara is assuming that the average bar, the amount of the water in the bar is higher than 10 tefachim. So if you're going to go and put the mechitza down below, you did a great, great job. But what about all that water inside the bar, which is lamala min hamechitza? You still haven't cured the problem.
It's not high enough.
It's not high enough, exactly. Exactly. What Rav Huna should say, said Rav Yehuda, what Rav Yehuda should say, if you want to go and make it a real, real Mexican wall, a real Chinese wall, then it should say that the wall has to be at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tefachim higher than or taller than the water level. Just to go and say that it's 10 tefachim, how does it help me? So therefore, why did Rav Yehuda insist, according to Beis Shammai, to put the mechitza all the way down below? The reason why he rejected Lamat of Rav Huna, I understand. Because Lamat of Rav Huna, the mechitza was above the water, and therefore the water mixes underneath the mechitza. Here too, says Imar, according to you, Rav Yehuda, the water mixes above the mechitza, because the mechitza is submerged down below. Amalei, so Abaye said back to Rav Baruch Hanan, lo yishmiu lecha hadi omer Rav Yehuda omer Rav, umat ba mishum Rav Chia, didn't you hear what they said in the name of Rav or Rav Chia? Tzorach shiro roishin shel konim lamalim min amayim tefach. Ah, he said you didn't hear what Rav Yehuda Rav said, or Rav Chia said, that you have to be able to see the Rosh shel konim lamalim min amayim tefach. What does that mean? That in fact, according to Rav Yehuda, that says that you have to go and make a machitza of 10 tefachim, it is not kosher if that mechitz is totally submerged. It has to have the Rosh Hashanah, at least something sticking out, protruding, l'malim and amayim tefach. Oh, so according to this pshat, according to Beis Shammai, even though our Mishnah only talks about making a mechitza gavoy asar tefachim, theoretically, this mechitza might have to be 100 tefachim tall, depending, of course, on the depth of the bar, because the top of that mechitza, the Rosh Hashanah, have to be sticking out. L'malim and amayim, so now you have mamish, a bona fide 1,000% mechitza, because the waters stay on this side and that side, they do not mix, because you have mechitza from top to bottom.
There's no discussion of how much has to be above the water line?
At least one tefach. Tzorach shiro, roish shokanim, l'malim and amayim, tefach. Tefach is approximately 4 inches.
Rezok tish laima? It's not l'malim that's the problem, l'malim is the problem, because the fifth turn, and most of the water is going to be below ground.
We're not necessarily talking about a natural flowing mayon. We're talking about a bar that was constructed and then you filled it with water. In other words, it's like a swimming pool that doesn't have subterranean sources, but rather you have geshomim and you have the rain. If you're concerned that from time to time the rain might cause the bar to overflow, according to Rav Yehuda, according to Beis Shammai, you'd have to have a mechitza that protrudes out of the bar above the surface level, so that no time do the waters ever mix. So when you're taking out the water on Shabbos, you're not taking from the other side. So that was question number one that Rabbi Bachanan posed, and that was Abaye's answer. But Vesu, Rabbi Bachanan says, I have another kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Hode omber Rabbi Yehuda lamal, lamalim and amayim. Now what means lamalim and amayim? Remember Rashi said before that lamala of Rabbi Yehuda is like the lamata of Rav Huna. That means it has to be within the bar itself, but not coming out from the bar. It's got to be within, as our kind friend Ed said before, that it's within the lip, underneath the lip of the bar. But remember, it's not like Rav Huna that says that you start at the top of the lip going down. Rav Yehuda holds that you start from the waterline, make a break of a tefach, whatever, and then you go up, which was what Rav Huna said previously, lamata of Beishamai. Anyway, v'suha di omer Rav Yehuda lamal lamanam anamayim. Maishna lamalam mamish deloi. Why does Rav Yehuda hold that lamala mamish deloi? What means lamala mamish? Not like Rav Huna said, lamala mamish, that the mechitza starts from the lip going down. You know why? Darivi maya. Because Rav Yehuda presumably feels, how does that help? If you have this mechitza going from the top of the bar down 10 tvachim, shkoyach. But the water only starts 5, 10, 20, 50 tvachim lower. So darivi maya, it's all mixed together. And that's why Rav Yehuda presumably rejected the pshat of Rav Huna. But lemal minamayim nami harivimayim, even according to Rav Yehuda's pshat lemal minamayim, which means that you started with five lines from the bottom of the Amud, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, Masechtas Eidavin, Talmud Bavli.
86A3.
Very well. And it's and towards the end of A3, the last paragraph or two. So what does it say? Lemal minamayim nami harivimayim, even according to Rav Yehuda's pshat. Remember, what did the meeting of Huna and Rav Yehuda legabe lemalim and amayim according to Beis Hillel? According to Rav Huna, you start lemala from the lip going downwards 10 tvachim. According to Rav Yehuda, you start the mechitza above the waterline going up 10 tvachim. But in that case, hanami arivimaya. In this case, too, the water mixes. It doesn't really matter where you put the mechitza in. If the mechitza doesn't go into the water, if it's only on the sides of the bar, lemalim and amayim. So, what have you accomplished? What was shlecht with Rav Huna's pshat? Why did Rav Huna have to come up with a new pshat? Amalei. So Abaye answers, leishmilecha hadatoni Yaakov Karchino. Didn't you hear what Yaakov Karchino explained? Tzach sheyishka Rashi kodim b'mayim tefach. Einoch anami. According to Rav Huna, the upper mala dika mechitza, it has to be so close to the water that some of the reeds, some of the kodim, in fact, extend down into the water a tefach, so that in fact you do have a mechitza of sorts, that what? That the bottom of the mechitza does go into the water. And that's the reason why Rav Yehuda said that lamala doesn't mean lamala starting from the lip, but it's starting from the water, and it's not like we learned until now, lamala min amayim, but in fact it has to be lamata min amayim, at least a tefach, to form a shtikla mechitza in the water. Now, if you're wondering, what does a shtikla mechitza help? Because after all, underneath that tefach, the water still mixes. For that, Rashi says, you look at the Rashi parallel to our Gemara, it's five lines before the wide lines. Sheishka Rashi akonim hatachtoinim, the bottom of the konim have to go into the water. Ubahapligi, that according to Yehuda, Beishamai boy mechitza mafsekes aratahoim, Beishamai really needs a Chinese wall, a Mexican wall, that goes from the bottom to the top and divides the water. A real, real mechitza with a capital Mem. Ubeisilbo, heker mechitza. He needs more of a symbolic, ritualistic mechitza, what we would call today a virtual mechitza. It doesn't have to be mamish mechitza.
Doesn't keep the water from mixing from one side.
For
to
sure,
the other.
You're absolutely correct. But our Gemara holds. We're going to talk more about on the Amud Beis. But still mixing? We're going to talk about that shortly. Anyway, so now we have a major machloikis now after these interpretations of Abaye. We have redefined Rav Yehuda, and therefore we're redefining the whole machloikis of Huna and Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Huna, neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel need that the mechitza touches the water whatsoever. These mechitzas never get wet, because according to Rav Huna, you're going to start the mechitza from above the waterline, and according to Beis Hillel, you're going to start it from the lip going down, far away from the water. never see the water, never touch the water. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, nein. According to Meisham, lamata means that you have to go and build it down below and go up so high that it goes beyond and higher than the water level. A tefach. And according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to go and put it all the way down below, but you have to go and put your machitza low enough in the bar so that the bottom of this machitza, at least symbolically, goes into the water and is mavdal at least by one tefach. Not by five tefachim, not by ten tefachim. I mean, the machitza itself has to be ten tefachim tall. But you only need one tefach submerged in the water. The other nine tefachim can be above the water. Zok Dimara, the Elaha. So now we're asking yet another kasha on Rav Yehuda. The Elaha di Yom Rav Yehuda. Koira arba materis b'chorva. Now here it says our Gemara arba. In newer Gemaras it's corrected. It says arbu'u, because the word arba always means arba amois. Arbu'u means arba tfachim. And Rashi says very clearly we're talking about tfachim, and we'll see Mechem the Amid Beis. So that's a printing mistake. It should say arba'a. Some of the newer Gemaras, they just put a strechel. Strechel means a little line over the ayin, so they don't have to try to squeeze in the hay. So they just make arba'a. Anyway, Ma'asa, what is a koyir materes b'charva? A charva, as you all know, means a building that it has collapsed or was destroyed in a war or whatever happened, and you still have some of the infrastructure. You still have a couple of the poles, and you still have a couple of the corners, and blah, blah, blah. The bricks, exactly. And here the koyir means that you have above what normally would have been part of the ceiling or the roof. You still have one koyir which is extending, Rashi says, mechoyme lechoyme, from one wall to the other wall. You have this koyir on top. So Rav Yehuda says that koyir arba materis b'chorva, which means, based on a rule that we've had before about mechitza teluya and about good asik, a good achas mechitza, we will look upon this koyir if it's at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, it's 4 tefachim thick. We will look upon it as if imaginary virtual walls come down from all four sides, and therefore you'll be able to carry within that limited space underneath the koyir. It's not very practical in terms of carrying, because it's a very, very limited space, but nevertheless, if you had such a koyir, you look upon them as virtual walls coming down. Rashi used the expression, chud yoyred v'soysim, the ends of the beam are coming down, and therefore, since you have a halal of 4 tefachim, Shai, it's a good mechitza. Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Bavua, koira arbo'a materis b'mayim. He doesn't go to the koira being mater in the chorva, but he says a koira arbo'a is materis b'mayim. Now what does it mean materis b'mayim? So explains Rashi at the very top. You have a bor bein beis chatzeros, unesuna al rechova b'emtza habor lamala. What happens if tak in the chorva you had a bor, and you had that koira on top, that beam on top, and the beam again had the dimensions of 4x4, right. And those that want to see a picture can go and see the beautiful picture in the art scroll that Ed is showing, and everybody showing now. Ed, you're going to go and you're going to get a commission from art scroll for being an excellent salesman. So you have this koira up above, which is wide for tzvachim and materis b'mayim. Now, how is it matur b'mayim? So says Rashi, because this koira, its width was directly above the water in the bar down below. So now, as a result of that, I can go and put in my dli, my bucket, and I can go and draw water. You remember what Uri asked a minute or two ago, and everybody else was similarly perturbed. Haka'ozel dli li'idach gisa umaisi. When I put down my bucket into the water, isn't the water going to travel to the other side? Because after all, we're talking about a koira with a virtual wall, but not talking about a physical wall. So, mazal tov, there's a koira on top, but the dli was not informed that there's a koira on top, and the dli is going to go for a float to the other side of the bar, and it's going to bring water from the other side of the bar, which means from the other chotzer. So, tomorrow, kibbe l'rabbanim de'ein dli mahalach yosem arba tvachim tachas koira. Or me'arba tvachim. The Chachamim had a general rule, they had a tradition, that the dli does not float the arba tvachim, it stays on this side more or less, okay, moves an inch or two, but it's not going to float. See, Ed, I didn't take your advice. That doesn't go into the throat. Ein dli mahalach yosem arba tvachim. Therefore, you don't have to worry that it's going to float away. But for tomorrow, okay, forget about floating. Matachas koira mia ha'ariva maya. Don't they have the problem that the water happens to be mixed? And if I have mixed water, if I'm going to draw water from my side, that's going to take water by definition from the other side, because every water, every piece of water, every drop of water is owned by both of us. So I'm taking now water from the left chotzer into the right chotzer. Why don't I have a problem of carrying? Oh, that's the famous kula, which we've already quoted a number of times in our Masechta, most recently yesterday, the day before, that the Chachamim made special kulas when it comes to water. Water is the basic building block of all life. The Kodesh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis, and he said, you know what? Here we allow for a kula. And the kula is, you don't have to have a physical wall, a virtual wall is also sufficient. If you have this hovering mechitza up above, which is not a full mechitza, you just want to use the principles of virtual mechitzas, will that help? The only time a mechitza tluya, this hanging mechitza, it's not really a hanging mechitza, it means a mechitza which is not a full-fledged mechitza. It only has the bare minimum of a mechitza. But we add virtual walls that will not help a churva unless there is mayim, a mechitza tluya materis el b'mayim, kalu shekila chachomim b'mayim. So therefore, special kula, that's why this above koira will work, but only b'mayim, not by a churva. Back to our Mishnah, Umar Rabbi Yehuda said something very similar. If you had a machitza in between two chatzeirois, even though the machitza did not get submerged inside the bar, not only didn't get submerged in the water, it didn't get into the bar, it's only hovering over the bar, that's also enough, since it's an effective barrier for the two machitzas, it's an effective barrier vis-a-vis the bar. So Umar Rabbi Yehuchanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Beshitzas Rabbi Yoisi Umra. This view of Rabbi Yehuda quoted in our Mishnah is similar to the view of Rabbi Yosi. The Omra Machitza Tluya Materis Alfilu Biyabosha. Because after all, this Machitza Tluya was not down on the ground. It's hanging in, if you will, mid-air, especially over the bar. So, that doesn't matter. Even though it's Machitza Tluya, it's Mater even Biyabosha. Where did we find this Rabbi Yosi? None. Now we're leaving Hilchos Erev and we're going to Hilchos Sukkah. Person is constructing a sukkah, and as he's constructing it, he realizes that unfortunately the material that he has is not going to do it. It's taka 10 tefachim long or 10 tefachim tall. However, it's not going to go all the way from the top, the schach, till the bottom of the floor. What should you do? So Hamishal Shul Defanas Mumalamat, if he's constructing it starting from the schach going downwards, psula. If it's higher than 3 tfachim from the ground, it's possible. The reason why it's possible is because you don't have the benefit of lavud, as well as you have the gedoyim boikim bay. The gedoyim feel free to go and jump through this sukkah because there is no walls to the ground, and therefore it's possible. However, if you started your tefanis from down below, you started from ground up, then if it's gvoy yitvachim, it's kosher, even though there's still space between the top of the mechitza and the schach. That was the Tanakama. Just like you said that if you started down below and you go up above, asara is kosher. It's a kosher mechitza for purpose of the sukkah. Kach mamalamata is also asara. That also works the same way if it goes down 10 tvachim, even if it's removed from the ground more than 3 tvachim, it's still kosher, even though you don't have the benefit of lavud, even though gedoyim boikim boy, it's still kosher. Now why does the Gemara want to shtel tzu Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah to that Rabbi Yosi? Because Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is the only Tana that doesn't require a mechitza to be built specifically for the bar situation. Rabbi Yehuda says as long as there is a mechitza from before, which is dividing between the two chatzeres, even though it doesn't reach the bottom, it doesn't even get into the bar. It's, Rashi said in the Amud Aleph, it's lemala mi'oignoi, even though it's above the lip of the bar. It's still okay. Therefore, we see that Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to mechitzas tluyos, he's very, very makel. Same thing we find by Rabbi Yosi, by Sukkah. He's also makel, even though the wall of the Sukkah doesn't go anywhere down to the ground. As long as it's ten tvachim, it's shen kusha. So says the Gemara, don't you see they both hold the same thing? Really, you have no raya. Not that they don't hold like each other, but you have no raya that they hold like each other. In our case, you didn't have to make a special machitza that goes into the lip of the bar. You know why? Because the whole din of Eruv Chatzeris is Rabbanan. I mean, not Torah, you'd be able to go and carry from one Chatzah to the other. After all, they're both Chatzeris. There's no Rishas Rab, no Rishas Yochid. It's only the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan say, you know what? As long as there's a pre-existing wall, you don't have to go and build a brand new one. You're talking about a mitzvah, a semirat Torah. You want to make sure that you yoitza. You can't use these virtual walls. You got to use a proper wall. And therefore, you have no right that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Yosi. The only reason why Rabbi Yosi was makel by sukkah, because the whole din of sukkah is, it's a mitzvah asay, and chas v'sholom, if you did not sit in the sukkah over yontif, or if you sat in a sukkah which was not a kosher sukkah, so you're being oiver an isra asay. An isra asay means that you were not mekayim the mitzvah asay that you're supposed to of living in a sukkah, but sukkah's teish v'shivas yom. Avos Shabbos, this is skilu. Anything having to do with Shabbos, you got to be careful. Stay away. If you don't go to the end of the cliff and see and bend over and see how far down it is. Don't get close. You got to stay away.
It's mizrabanan. It's mizrabanan. It's not mizrabanan. So we just said it's mizrabanan.
You're absolutely correct. And Rashi asks your kasha. If you look in the Rashi, smack in the middle of the Amud, Avos Shabbos is a skilu. Afal gab reshu is drabonon lekaskila. Is that your question, Barry? Yes? Is that your question?
Yes.
It's drabonon. See, there's no skila. But called to talk in drabonon, can they rise to talk in? What the Gemara means to say is that the Chum added additional safeguards and rules and regulations to Mimachmer and Hilchah Shabbos, because Hilchah Shabbos are isurim of skila. So even though the Rishuyois and the Mechitzois and the Chatzeirois about this are talking about Drabonot, but they're all involving the origin of Shabbos, and that's why the Chum added those special safeguards. Anything having to do with Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi says, I'm staying away. Even though we're only talking about Drabonot by Shabbos, not the Araisis by Shabbos, but since the Mekoyer of all these Hilchah Shabbos has to do with Skila, I'm not going to get close. Shabbos is Skila hu Leomer. So therefore, you have no right that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yossi. Now, what did we conclude now? That Rabbi Yossi was only matter by these machitzos tuluyos by sukkah and not by Shabbos. Frank Dimar v'yem toimer oisem maser shenase b'tzipoiri alpi min nase loy alpi Rabbi Yossi. Tzipoiri was a town or a city in the Galil, not far from Tveria. And Rabbi Yossi Bishatoi was the Rav, the Rish Bezdin, the Rosh Hashiva. He was the Gadol in Tzipori. And we're going to tell a story now in another moment where they did use the benefit of Mechitzos Tuluyos to carry a Sefer Torah on Shabbos. And the assumption is that it was based on the Psak of Rabbi Yossi. But you just told me now that Rabbi Yossi stays away from any kulas on Shabbos. He would only give a kula of Mechitzos Tuluyos by a sukkah. So tomorrow, loy al pi Rabbi Yossi el al pi Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi unfortunately had already passed away by the time that this story took place in Tzipori. And who was the mamala mokim? His son Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi was the one that was makel by Hilchah Shabbos, but Rabbi Yossi would not even get close to be makel. He was only makel by Hilchos Sukkah. What was the story? The chiyoser of Dimi Amar Pam Achas Shokchuv Leheviu Sefer Torah by Joim. Normally, they didn't leave the Sifrei Torah in the shuls, at least not everywhere. Many communities they didn't leave it because, as you know, the shuls and the Bat Midrashim are basically open 24 hours to anyone and everyone. Nowadays, of course, they have guards and they have locks and all that type of stuff. But years ago, that was not the case, and so therefore, it was a free for all. So many communities, they took the Sefer Torah and they held it in somebody's private house. And then Erev Shabbos, they would take it from that house and bring it into the shul and then lane from it on Shabbos. Okay, that's all wonderful. Guess what happens? One time in Tzipori, in one neighborhood, they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah by Joy. And now it's Shabbos and we got to go in lane. So he's saying we should all go and pack into that guy's house. Well, number one, you have to have social distancing. And even before the days of social distancing, after social distancing is not more than 12 years old, right? Some say only a few months. Anyway, the point is that there may have been an oilam of 100 or 500 people, and this house could only fit three people, so obviously they couldn't all fit into the house. So they wanted to go and take the Sefer Torah into the shul. So what did they do? L'mocher on Shabbos, Porsus Sadin Alu Hamudim, they took a bunch of poles, they spread out a sadin, a sheet on those poles, and they let the sheet go and hang down on all four sides of the poles. But obviously it didn't hang down very far, because the average sadin, the average sheet, is not that large. And we're talking about, they had to have a person going under it with a Sefer Torah and carrying back and forth. Presumably had two or three people, like on some procession. So it was hanging down a few inches on each side. They viewed Sefer Torah and they brought the Sefer Torah in from the house to the shul. And of course, we're not talking about a situation of Rishus Rabim. This would be prohibited. We're talking about a Chotzer situation or a Karmelis situation. They were makel with this Mechitza Tluya, even though it wasn't full-fledged Mechitzas, based on the good Achis or good Asik theory that it was virtual waltz. The Korubai and Baruch Hashem, they laid in the Sefer Torah and everybody was happy. So now the Gemara asks a question. Parsu, they went and spread out a sheet over these amudim. L'chadchilim Yishar, you're allowed to do something like that. V'hakol moidim shein oisin oilaroi v'shabas. You're not going to go make even a transitory, temporary oil. And this is a, when we say hakol moidim, so Rashi quotes the Mishnah that we had back in Masechta Shabbos, machloik between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim, whether you're allowed to go and fit in the shutters in the windows on Shabbos. So it's machloikis whether it was attached to the wall or not attached to the wall. Was it lying on the ground? Whether it was hovering in mid-air? Anyway, again, some machloikis. But there the Gemara said very clearly that the whole machloikis is to go and fill up and be moisif alhu oil. You had an existing oil, and now there's a hole in the wall called the window, and now you fill up the window on the window by putting in the shutter. Is that a problem, being moisif al oil? But everybody agrees, an oisin oil roi b'shabas, to go and start off a chachilah to make an oil, chas v'shalom. So how could they even think about putting on the sadin on these amudim? El says, Yimara, guess what? Matzu sadin and perusim alu amudim. They found on Shabbos morning, unless that there were a bunch of amudim, and picked over these amudim, there were sadinim. They said, I can't believe it. Rabbi Yishlom sent special siyata d'shmaya. They'll be able to go and carry the Sefer Torah, but be a Sefer Torah of a karubai. So the story is a fascinating story, but what did we want to say from this? The Lechari Mechitza Tluya works in Tzipari. Rabbi Yossi is the Ruv of Tzipari, so he must have been matir, not only by Sukkah, but also by Shabbos. Evdimar, no, this is already after Rabbi Yossi passed away. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, his son, took over as the Ruv. And he was makel not only the Gabi Hilchos Sukkah, but also the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos. Just to conclude the Gemara, Omer Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda that we had in our Mishnah, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Omru Dover Echad. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? Remember that there was a pre-existing wall separating between the two chatzeros, and underneath it there was a bar. You don't have to make a special mechitza going into the bar, even though it's hovering above the bar, that's fine. Yeah, that's also good. In the ear corresponding above the bar. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya said the same thing. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amarim, we just went through Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, what is that? The Sanya, there's a price. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, Oimer, Gezustra, Shiyeshba, Arba Amis, Al Arba Amis. Oh, that's the famous Gezustra that we've been speaking about already for the last couple of days. You have a balcony, which is over the Yam, over the water, and you want to be able to draw up the water on Shabbos. Now, if you remember, the two Gezustrois that we always spoke about, we talk about that there was a hole in the middle of the balcony, which was 4x4 tefachim, and around the balcony there was mechitzos of 10 tefachim. So therefore you had a mini Rishus HaYochid on your balcony, and the water down below is a karmelis. Normally you wouldn't be able to go and carry from a karmelis to the Rishus HaYochid and vice versa, but because it happens to be kal, shekilu, chacham, and bamayim, they allowed for mechitzos tluyos, as if there were mechitzos going down from the balcony all the way down to the water, as if it's all enclosed in the Rishus HaYochid. These are what we call mechitzos tluyos, good achis, good asik, and therefore virtual walls works. Now, in the case of Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, they did not go...
It's unbelievable.
Really, those of you that want to see the beautiful pictures, Ed will show you in his Art Scroll Gemara. If you get your own Art Scroll Gemara, you can see it on your own.
You don't need the text, you just look at the pictures.
Exactly. A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? Good. So now, what was different about this Gezustra? Manishtana Gezustra Zoyis Mikola Gezustrois. Here they did not bother putting up machitzas on the four sides of the balcony. However, the balcony, as we just said now, was 24 tfachim by 24 tfachim. Where did we say that? It says arba amas al arba amas. And every amma has six tfachim. So it's 24 tfachim by 24 tfachim. And choykig ba, they made a hole in the middle of the balcony, which was dalet al dalet, four tfachim by four tfachim. Umamale, and they would thin the bucket down and bring the bucket up. But how can you do that? You didn't have walls around this balcony. So now Reb Chananya ben Akavya goes one step further. He's a real, if you will, radical when it comes to this kal she'ekilu chacham b'mayim. I don't mean a radical chas v'shalom in a negative sense. I mean it's very mechudosh. What he says is, look at the balcony which has no walls to it, but it has a long, wide floor. This long, wide floor is 24 tvachim by 24 tvachim. The hole was 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. So, any common sense will tell you that surrounding the hole, you had 10 tvachim to the right, and 10 tvachim to the left, and 10 tvachim to the north, and 10 tvachim to the south. 10 tvachim. Says Rav Chanan ben Akavya, deem those 10 tvachim in each direction as if they were folding. As if you could push a button and that platform started folding downwards. Once it flows downwards, now I have four walls going downwards, each of which is 10 tvachim big, 10 tvachim high. Wow, that's a very, very novel thought, that you can go and take something which is totally horizontal. Until now we've had mechitzas tluyos, good aches mechitzah, pi koira yoyed v'soysim, make virtual walls, but you started off with a plastical wall, and then you had to go down. Over here there was no wall at all, it was just totally horizontal. Now we are bending this horizontal shape and making it into virtual wall, and we're not even bending it, we're just deeming it to be bent. Says the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda allows for virtual walls that didn't go into the bar down below. He holds a Kavanah in a Kavya that also holds from virtual walls. Amalei Abayis, Abayis, and Nishkarai. V'dimaloi, ad kalikam Rabbi Yehuda hasam ala di amar good aches mechitzta. To go and add virtual walls, we've had that. In other words, you have mechitzas tluyos, extend it as if it goes all the way down to the water, virtual walls. Aval koif v'good loy. Koif v'good means to go and say that we're going to bend the horizontal platform of the balcony. The good, and now make a good aches mechitzta. That's already pushing. To do koif and good is good. I'm happy with good aches. That's a good principle. But to koif a good, that's already too good. That's already going one step too far, and could be that Rabbi Yehuda would not agree with Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. You know why Rav Chanan ben Akavya felt that you could use the benefit of the bendable walls? In that case, it was Yamshel Tveria. Because around this Yam, you have natural border walls. Just like they always used to say about the Hudson, that it has these sea walls, and that's why someone to be matter. He had someone to be matter based on that, Avram Manhattan. So here too, he's saying, around the Yamashal Tvari, it has these natural walls. So I don't even need to come onto the bending platform, I have the walls all around. Abishar may misloy, but any other river I would never be makel to that extent, and therefore, bottom line is, we have no right to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya, or the Rabbi Chanani Akavya holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Each one holds their own halacha. To be continued in Meshim tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say any questions? Hearing none. Have a great day, Meshim tomorrow morning, 7:45.